You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from. The Penguins, they have their core. And right now, a lot of the question is going to be, who do the Penguins put around them next season to get them back into playoff contention? Because when you look at this season, right now, they're not out of it. But the odds are very slim, and they have a very important weekend that can knock them almost entirely out of the race or can bring them back into the race. So we'll see what they're able to do this weekend. But a lot of the focus right now is on next season for the Penguins. A lot of the focus is on, as Kyle Dubas mentioned about a month ago, trying to see how they can get younger heading in to next season. And a big part of that is going to be a new core of options to lead a bottom six resurgence for the Penguins, a resurgence that has needed to happen since, I don't know, 2018, you could argue. But again, in the early 2020s, like 2020, 2021, you had that fourth line of Zach Aston-Reese, Teddy Bluger, and Brandon Tanev. That was pretty good for you in those couple of years. You had Jared McCann and Evan Rodriguez. So you're hoping to get back to some semblance of that type of bottom six, a bottom six that can contribute in big ways on the offensive side of the ice. And I think there are some young players in the organization that can help you to get to that point because you have your core. It's comprised of 30-plus-year-old phenoms, your Crosbys, your Malkins, your Letangs, your Carlsons. But you need a group of young players to step up in a big way next year. Yes, Kyle Dubas is going to have his work cut out for him in the offseason. He's going to have to trade off some players. He's going to have to bring in some players. And the hope is that he brings in some young, talented players to take the Penguins to another level. But when you look inside the organization, they do have some options that if they take a step, could become a major part of a turnaround in that bottom six next year. Now, not saying they're going to become one of the best bottom sixes in the NHL. That is a little bit outside of the realm of possibility to expect these young guys to come up and automatically, you know, go toe-to-toe with the Tampa Bay Lightning's depth pieces or the Vegas Golden Knights' depth pieces. But it should be able to, if they can take a step forward, make the Penguins a team that could at very least contend for the top three in the Metropolitan Division as early as next season, again, if all things go right. But when you look at the roster right now, the Penguins have about three roster spots available for these five players I'm about to talk about. One of them, one of the five, is likely a lock to make the roster anyway, so you could honestly talk about, as of right now, two roster spots available for four potential young players for the Penguins' bottom six. Like I said, I expect some names to be moved out. I expect some names to be moved in this summer. Riley Smith is a big topic of conversation. What will they do with Matt Nieto, who has another year left on his contract? Your depth centers, do you continue to go back another year with Noel Acciari, who has 2 years left on his contract, with Lars Eller, who has another year attached to his contract? Those are questions that will need to be answered in this offseason, and I think some of those players are probably on their way out, or at the very least, one of those players is likely on their way out the door. But these five, as I'll talk about, are young guys that I want to see get an opportunity to push for a starting job out of training camp next season, and young players that I believe could really help change the aspect and the outlook on this Penguins' depth. First and foremost It's Drew O'Connor. Drew O'Connor is the most polished product of this group. He's having a career year, and he's broken out as a really decent middle six winger. Coming into the season, I've mentioned it a million times, the goal for Drew O'Connor was to prove that he could stick at the National Hockey League level. He's done that and more. He's been called upon to be a top six winger at points this season, and he has not looked out of place one single second, especially in the latter months here. He's gotten used to playing with the likes of Sidney Crosby, the likes of Evgeny Malkin. He's kind of thinking the game on that level now, and you're seeing him start to be able to play a little bit more seamlessly when he's switching lines between the bottom six and the top six. He has 25 points this year, 10 goals, 15 assists in 65 games. I think he's still best suited for a third line role at the NHL level, at least as of right now. He's done well when called upon, but again, good teams become great teams when you can slot guys in roles where they are most likely to succeed. Drew O'Connor is most likely to succeed in a third line role. If you can find enough top six capable players to where you don't have to have Drew O'Connor in the top six at the start of next season, that's ideal. Now, do I hate Drew O'Connor in the top six? No, I do not. But I think he is ideally set to be a third line winger to where he's facing that type of competition where he can take advantage of certain mismatches and certain, you know, matchups. Whereas in the top six, listen, there's going to be some times where he's overmatched, and there's going to be some times where the skill on the ice is a little over his head still, even at the age of 25. And I think if you put him on that third line role, you're best suited for success for not just him, but for the organization as well, if you're able to actually have players above him that are performing at that level. Another player that's played a lot of NHL hockey this year that is going to get a major opportunity to make the team out of camp next year is Valtteri Puustinen. He is scheduled to become a restricted free agent at the end of the season. I have no doubt in my mind that the Penguins are going to bring back their seventh round pick. I think that he has shown some offensive upside this season, but there is still more offensive upside that he could be showing on the score sheet. I know he has 4 goals, 12 assists, in 38 games. He's had a couple of stretches where he's gone without goals, but you've seen glimpses of that offensive, you know, adeptness, his ability to create, especially from a guy that's a little undersized. He kind of fits the Penguins mold of 2016 and 2017 when these guys like Rust, like Sherry, like Gensel started coming up. He might not be at the level of a Rust or maybe a Jake Gensel, but he's a 100% on that same level or the same wavelength as a guy like Connor Sherry. And honestly, I see his playmaking as about a step or two above what Sherry's was when he first came in to the NHL back in 2016. So I like Puustinen. I think that he, similarly to Drew O'Connor, is gaining confidence with each and every single game. And you look at the underlying numbers, and they match the eye test as well. 57% of the expected goals for it leads all Pittsburgh Penguins this season with a minimum of 300 minutes of ice time at 5-on-5. He's been great this season. I think it's a good year for him to dip his toe into the water as we've seen him get more comfortable. I think an offseason after that for him to work and build, I think that's going to be massive. And if he comes in and has a really good camp, it's going to be hard for the Penguins to turn him down when looking for somebody to start on their third line or maybe even a top six guy. I could see Puustinen being somebody that they turn to be an answer in the top six with Gensel out the door and with question marks surrounding Riley Smith and Ricard Raquel's future. So I like Puustinen. I think if you're looking to get younger, he is somebody that he might not be a 30-goal scorer next year. He probably won't be. He might not be a 20-goal scorer next year. I think that would be something that you would look at as a best-case scenario. But he's somebody that's going to be able to go out there, going to be able to keep pace of play, going to be able to set other guys up, other established guys like a Michael Bunting, like a Brian Rust, or like a Evgeny Malkin or Sidney Crosby. And he's going to be somebody that's going to put in 15 to 20 goals and be a very solid top six option for a very minimal price. It allows you, if Puustinen can slot into that role, to go out and fix some of these other areas, the defense being one of them. It's going to take some moving and shaking, and it might take some money to eat up that defense to try to make that defense much better. And for that to happen, you need to save money in other areas. Valtteri Puustinen as a top six option is one way that you could go about that if you're Kyle Dubas and the Penguins. Now, 3 other players that haven't played nearly as much at the NHL level, but I expect to have some pretty significant roles over the summer and potentially get an opportunity to have a significant role on next year's team. Let's start with a guy like Jesse Puljujärvi. He's getting back into the lineup tonight, or at least is projected to get back into the lineup tonight for the first time since March 9th. He had a couple of rough games against the Washington Capitals right before the deadline, against the Boston Bruins right after the deadline, and because of that, he's been out of the lineup. According to Mike Sullivan yesterday in his post-practice press conference, he has been healthy all this time, which puts into question why they've used emergency call-ups like Jonathan Gruden to go into the lineup over the last week or so when they've had a healthy Jesse Puljujarvi. It's interesting the dynamic that has been happening between Puljujarvi and the Penguins since he joined the organization in December, making his way through the AHL, getting back up to speed after double hip surgery, and now having played 11 games at the National Hockey League level. He's had a few rough performances throughout the year, but he hasn't been horrible. He's been as expected. He's pretty good at a lot of the little things. He struggles to finish, which everybody on this team does, and if you're the Penguins, you're going to need guys who can finish. But here is the thing I really like about Jesse Puljujarvi. He goes to the net front. He's a big body, and he actually uses his big body. Now that the Penguins are bringing in some guys similar to that, some guys that are adept at playing in that net front area, I think Jesse Puljujarvi should get a really good look over the summer, heading into the fall for training camp and stuff like that. He should get a really good look to try to help out this Penguins bottom six. Is he a guy that I expect to spend a lot of time in the top six next year? No, I just don't think he has the finishing ability to do that. But do I think that he's good enough to be an answer in the bottom six? Yeah, I do. He's 25 years old, which means he has those fresh legs. He'll have had a full offseason to recover from that double hip surgery, getting back into some action, getting back into some NHL action this year, and then getting some rest and recovery as needed throughout this offseason. I think he'll come back better next year. And I think, like I mentioned, that important piece to all of this, the Penguins need to get better in the net front. You're starting to see that with a guy like Michael Bunting. You're going to see that with another guy I'm going to mention here in a little bit. And you certainly see that with a guy like Jesse Puljujarvi.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you look at his career year back in 2021-22 with the Edmonton Oilers, look at where he scored the majority of his goals. And if you're watching us on YouTube, I have the graphic up from NHL Edge for Jesse Puljujarvi. If you're listening to it, I'll explain it to you. 10 of his 15 goals coming from right in the front of the net, right in that slot area. Another one coming right in the crease. All of his offense coming from right in the net front area. That's what the Penguins need. They need players that are willing to go there and stay there. Willing to go there, be the big body, create a little bit of chaos, score rebound opportunities, because they haven't done nearly enough of that this season. And that has been the reason that guys like Chris Letang, guys like Erik Karlsson, their assist numbers are low, because a lot of the opportunities that they create are four players that are going to play in the net front, that are going to get redirection goals, that are going to get rebound goals. And the Penguins just haven't done enough of that this season. They don't have enough players that are willing to go in and do that. Michael Bunting is one of them. That's why I've loved watching him over the last couple of weeks, and I love the acquisition of him in that Jake Guentzel trade. And also, you look at Jesse Puljujarvi, he's somebody that in his history at the NHL level has shown an ability to do just that. So I'm intrigued to see what happens the rest of the season. He's been sitting the last couple of weeks, like I mentioned, with Jeff Carter on the shelf and still traveling with the team. There's a chance that there's an opportunity for Jesse Puljujarvi over these next couple of games to get back in the lineup, get a little bit more time underneath his belt, back from this double hip surgery, some game action underneath his belt, and I'm interested to see what he's able to do with that opportunity. But he has that one extra year on his contract. I don't think they would have signed him to that extra year thinking Mike Sullivan's not going to play this guy. They signed him to that extra year because that's part of that youth movement they want to make. They wanted to have a piece that was bona fide at the NHL level, and Jesse Puljujarvi is just that. The last two names I'm going to mention, one of them has played two games at the NHL level, the other one has played three games at the NHL level, and yet They're exciting players to watch for the remainder of this season because both of them might get an opportunity, and especially heading into next season during training camp and to see if they're able to make the team out of camp. Let's start with the newest addition to the Penguins organization and Vasily Ponomarev, acquired as part of that Jake Guentzel deal, somebody that Kyle Dubas has spoken glowingly about since the acquisition back on March 8th. He has one goal in three games with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and Dubas not only speaking glowingly of his ability so far, but hinting at him potentially getting a run at the NHL level this season. It's something that he's continuously said, yeah, it'd be nice to get Sam Poulin up and into the NHL to get some action at some point this season, but he seemed a little bit more sure of himself when talking about Ponomarev. Both Ponomarev and Poulin, who we'll talk about in just a second, can play the center ice position. Poulin was a natural winger coming into the NHL, or at least into the NHL draft. He is transitioned to center, but Ponomarev is a center for the Penguins organization that they're looking to potentially bring that youth, speed, skill into their bottom six. Because as of right now, coming into this season at least, it was a lot of older veteran players that really relied on their defensive game to make their money at the NHL level. Ponomarev, either way, he's in here for offense. He's in here for goals and for points, and that is something the Penguins bottom six is in desperate need of. And like I mentioned, it's been something they've been in desperate need of since they got rid of Jared McCann and Evan Rodriguez and, you know, the Aston Reese Bluger and Tanev line. It wasn't the biggest scoring fourth line, that one, but it was great defensively and scored in the weighty moments. Tanev always scoring a couple big goals for the Penguins. Ponomarev is somebody that I feel like the organization views as one of their key answers to getting younger and getting more talented as early as next season. Is he going to get an opportunity this season? I would say so. I think this is a big weekend for the Penguins because they in the locker room are still gunning for a playoff spot despite the odds being stacked against them very heavily. But I think if you see them struggle against very good teams the next three games, you have Dallas tonight, you have Colorado on Sunday, both on the road, and then you return home to face a red-hot Carolina Hurricanes and a red-hot Jake Guentzel on the Carolina Hurricanes. These next three games could be the nail in the coffin or could continue to have that little sliver of hope. If it goes the former way, I expect that shortly after that you see those couple of call-ups being used, especially one on Vasily Ponomarev. I'm excited to see more of him. Haven't gotten to watch a whole lot of Ponomarev, but the hype is very loud for this guy. A lot of Carolina Hurricanes fans were very upset. Carolina Hurricanes writers and reporters were a little upset that he was on the move. Obviously not one of their top prospects, but still, when a prospect pool is as deep as Carolina's, even the fifth guy or the sixth guy, which is what Ponomarev was, is somebody that people are very, very excited about. So I'm excited to see how he's able to grow here in the early stages of him with the Penguins organization. Closing this one out with Sam Poulin, scheduled to become a restricted free agent, similar to Valtteri Puustinen. I highly doubt the Penguins are going to let him walk, and I highly doubt that he has anything against the Penguins organization, especially considering they used a first-round pick on the guy in 2019. He's had a little bit of a rough, you know, go of it to get to this level, to get to where he is this season, but he's having a great year. Albeit an injury-riddled season, he's having a great year with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. 26 points, 13 goals, 13 assists in 33 games. When he's healthy, he's been very, very good for them. And he, along with a guy like Yesipul Järvi, along with a guy like Michael Bunting, does a lot of his work in the net front areas. Sam Poulin, the one thing that I've heard from him time and time again, or heard about him, I should say, time and time again, is this guy likes to do the dirty work, likes to get into the dirty areas, likes to win those puck battles along the boards, likes to just battle in front of the net as well. And that is something the Penguins desperately need. They need guys like that with finishing ability, and I think that's what you get from Sam Poulin. He's a guy that came in with a high offensive pedigree. He's built out the rest of his game. The skating is not, you know, premier, but it hasn't been since his draft analysis first came out. So I think the one thing you're going to look at for him is penalty killing. Is he going to be able to be a penalty killer at the next level? Because right now, the Penguins' four centers are all under contract next year. Crosby, Malkin, they're removable. They're not going anywhere. Lars Eller is under contract for next season, and everything that he has shown this year really makes it feel like he shouldn't be on the move next year. Lars Eller's had a great year with the Penguins as a third-line center. Nolachari has had a half-decent year. Great defensively, poor offensively. Is it maybe best to move Nolachari to the wing, get in either a younger guy in Poulin as your fourth-line center or make Poulin your third-line center and bump Lars Eller down? Maybe, perhaps, but that's looking too far into the future. That's moving some chairs that we don't know are going to even be on the dance floor in a couple of months. You don't know the future of a lot of these veteran players on the Penguins because Kyle Dubas might look to make some drastic changes once again this offseason, and some of those guys might be on the chopping block. Who knows? But I think Sam Poulin is going to get a major opportunity at training camp. He did this year, but there were the questions of, well, he didn't really play a whole lot the previous year, so they wanted to get him some time at the AHL level and started the year with a high ankle injury. Then he continued to get injured at the worst possible times when there were going to be opportunities for him to get called up to the NHL. The timing hasn't worked out this year, but he's a player that they have kept a very close eye on throughout this season. He's a player that had a very, very good prospect development camp. Into training camp, he continued to impress. He was really good in all of the preseason, and they wanted him to get a little bit more seasoning at the AHL level. Injuries slowed down his progression. Injuries ruined the timing for him to come up this year to this point. Hopefully he gets an opportunity here sometime late in the season, but if he doesn't, I fully expect him to be a guy that, if he impresses in camp, could battle for one of those bottom six positions. So there's five players here. Again, what happens with Matt Nieto over the summer? What happens with Nolachari? I don't know if that contract can be moved. 2 more years at, I believe, $2 million for a guy that's aging and hasn't shown much offense. I'm not sure where that's going to go. Can he be moved? Do they even want to move him? He's been a heart and soul type of guy. He's been a great penalty killer for the Penguins. He's been great in the faceoff dot, and we know Mike Sullivan loves that. So what's going to happen with these veterans determines how many spots are going to be available for these younger players. And also, what can the Penguins bring in free agency that's younger? I talked about it a couple weeks ago. The youngest UFAs are around 27 years old, and they're guys like an Anthony Beauvillier. They're guys like a Daniel Sprong. It's not somebody that really raises the ceiling much more than some of these younger guys, these 24, 25-year-old guys that are homegrown, that are going to be much cheaper than anything you're going to sign on the unrestricted market. So I find it very intriguing what the Penguins' bottom six is going to look like after the summer, and I think that is going to be one of the storylines that most people are going to keep their eyes on. Obviously, defense needs restructured, but things need to go out before they come in. Bottom six, if it's a quiet offseason, I wouldn't be surprised because I think the Penguins have some high hopes for these five players, in particular guys like Ponomarev and guys like Valtteri Pustin. Drew O'Connor, I don't think you have to worry about high hopes anymore. Drew O'Connor's proven. The other guys, Pustin and Ponomarev, Puljujarvi and Poulin, a lot of P's in there, but I think those are guys that it's going to be very, very intriguing how much is added to block these guys and if they're able to overcome them in training camp. I think you've seen certain players, Pustinen, overcome guys that were blocking them, like a Vinny Hinostroza, like maybe even a Colin White before he was picked up on waivers. So you've seen Pustin be able to do that. Next year, maybe that's the year you see Ponomarev get over a couple of other players. You see Poulin break through a couple other roadblocks and see them get an actual chance at the NHL level. It's going to be intriguing. Obviously, this is a debate and a discussion that we can talk about throughout the summer as the Penguin season winds down. We'll see what they're able to do this weekend. Two massive matchups against the Stars tonight and against the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday afternoon. But the future is intriguing for the Penguins. A couple of young stars here. I wouldn't say stars, actually. A couple of young players here that could be NHL regulars as early as next season. I want to see how they progress, and especially a guy like Ponomarev, who I haven't watched a whole lot. I'm excited to see what his game looks like in a Penguins uniform. But that's going to do it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.